New year, same great savings. All in the Kroger app.
Get 10 for $10 on select varieties of Kroger pasta, Starkist tuna pouches, or Powerade with your card. Then get tender Heritage Farm boneless chicken breasts for $2.49 a pound with your card and a digital coupon.
Shop these deals at your local Kroger today, or tap the screen now to download the Kroger app to save big today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Prices and product availability subject to change. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
On the 15th day of the People versus Kohi, Brian Kohi Jr. is sentenced to life in prison without the possibility of parole, including another 13 and a half years.
It's Brian. Walk me through. How do you spell your last name?
You want my full name or my last name?
Your full name. Good.
Thomas Kohi, C-O-H-E-E, Jr. or the second, whichever one.
Okay. And what's your birthday, Brian?
January 10th, 2002.
Your address?
Which one?
How many do you have?
There's my dad's address and there's my mom's address.
Which one do you live at, both or one? Or?
I sleep at my mom's.
Okay.
But I often visit my dad's every day.
Okay. What's your mom's? Do you visit him like every day or?
Quite often. Not occasionally, like maybe once a week, I'll just stay at my mom's, but. Yes, almost every day I go over there, evenings, okay. Mornings.
I'll be right back.
Okay. What's your mom's name?
Terry Kohi.
What's your dad?
Brian Joseph Kohi, Sr.
And how did you get here?
I murdered someone.
Okay.
Welcome, listener. I'm glad you're here. Take a seat next to the fire.
Welcome to Obscura, where we shine a light on the dark.
Listener. This series has been a bit different than others. Each episode has done their own thing, with the first episode in the series being more of journal entries the killer posted online, and then the second episode being the first episode in the series that even had Brian Kohi Jr.'s name featured. Now, part of that reason why was a meta-commentary on how meta Brian Kohi Jr. is and operates. It's something I've picked up a lot on, listening to his police interrogation, reading his journal entry. Brian Kohi Jr. acts on a level where he's always very aware of how people will perceive him in the future.
I drive a 2007 Ford 500, and I keep a small 18-inch bat in there for self-defense, and a large kitchen knife in the glove box, both for self-defense, because I don't really trust anyone or really any part of this town, so that's why I have both. And let's see, yeah, it was the night of February 27th. It was a full moon, and I figured I can see so well, why not drive out? And I am in a bad state of mind at that time. I have major depressive disorder, so I am not thinking, say, positively.
Okay.
And I'm cruising around for an hour, hour and a half. I fill up on gas halfway through. And I'm eventually driving underneath the bridge near the sheriff's office.
So we were at the bridge?
There's a road underneath, right?
Uh-huh.
Under the overpass. And I was driving along, and I see a shape here on the railway track. So I'm like, oh, interesting. So I go up, and as I'm looking, I see a large thing wrapped in a canvas.
Okay.
And I'm like, that's a homeless person. So I grab my knife, I put on three layers of gloves, because plastic gloves can betray their users because they're so thin, the vinyl gloves,
mm-hmm.
by imprinting your fingerprints through. So I put on two three on one hand. I took the knife, I pulled back the canvas, and I stabbed his neck. He was panicking at first. In his old man voice, he was in his 50s. I know why I call an old man. He was saying, "What are you doing? What are you doing? Why? Why?" And I just kept on stabbing his neck. I was... Is this okay if I do a demonstration?
Oh, yeah.
This is him. I was straddled on top of him like this.
Okay.
And he couldn't fight back. It was actually surprisingly easy. I was barely breaking the sweat. I thought, oh, this guy, he's going to be tough. But no, it was actually surprisingly easy. And during the time, I was growling and making animalistic noises.
Why were you doing that?
I suppose it was a frenzy. I was so excited, so rushed up on adrenaline every day. Okay. And, I paused and he said, "Why are you doing this?" And I said, "I've been wanting to do this for a long fucking time, for someone." And then I continued. The whole ordeal lasted about a minute and a half.
Okay.
And I stabbed, when I was finished stabbing him, he took out his last breath, a grunt, and his head was halfway cut off in stabs. All the while, no, actually, after I killed him, I just couldn't stop saying, "Stinky, dirty, dirty, stinky, stinky." I wasn't smelling anything, but...
Some more resentment.
I don't know.
Okay. But you remember doing it, so...
Yeah. I suppose it was just me speaking out my mind at that moment. Pouring out of the mind.
What are you worried about? I mean, this looks like it's pretty close to the road and stuff. Somebody seeing you
or
catching you?
It was 11 p.m., okay. So not many were driving by. It was behind the pillar. So, like, here's the road.
Uh-huh.
It was here. So people would only see a brief thing here and here.
So were you worried about them seeing you?
I was worried about one of them stopping.
What did you think could happen if somebody...
Well, if they looked, it was quite dark under there, so they wouldn't have seen the guy, you know, if they looked. They would have seen me holding a bloody 12-inch knife, okay. Wearing gloves, and wearing a mask to conceal my identity, face mask.
Okay. So you weren't doing it for COVID, you were doing it for hide and face?
Partially. Social distancing.
Right.
But no one stopped, and I'm just like, huh. Proves the bystander effect.
In his mind, he created a laundry list of greatest hits. People like Ted Bundy and Ed Gein, Michael Myers, Eric and Dylan, Hitler, etc. People he wanted to try to be like, but also emulate. Once arrested, he slid into a Ed Kemper role, trying to be as friendly as possible with the police. The problem being there is that he's not very good at being social, so just comes across as awkward.
And then, after that, I stripped his clothes, I cut open his belly, to see his guts. They're really pink. Sorry, that was morbid. Then, I cut off his head, I gave him a Glasgow smile.
What's that?
A Joker smile. I destroyed his eyes by stabbing them in.
Okay.
And then I cut off his hands. I put those in plastic Ziploc bags. And then I cut off his right arm at this joint.
Okay.
And at this joint. And then at this arm, I tried cutting it here, and then I tried cutting it here. But what happened was, I accidentally broke his bone. This one, it was poking out. And so I left that one here, partially cut, dismembered here, bone sticking out. And then I left his body there. And then I took the head, put it in a leftover box from the dinner a few nights ago. And then I took the hands, put them in the back, drove home, hid the hands and head in my room. Clean the knife, threw away the garbage with the blood on it, and then put the blood stained, wasn't stained, it had splatters on it. I put it in the dish, in the washing machine.
What did you put in there?
I put the outfit I murdered him in.
In the washing machine?
Yeah, I was wearing it.
Okay.
In the washing machine, but on high speed, so it would effectively remove the blood. I washed it twice. And then I tried going to sleep, but I was worried that because there was a hole in my gloves right here, I was worried that they would be able to obtain a partial print. Mm-hmm. So I figured, why not go all the way? I drove back in a different outfit, picked up his body, surprisingly heavy, put it in my trunk, and drove to the Blue Heron drop-off station.
Okay.
I parked. So it's like this, right? So let's say this is ground. The ramp is quite steep, and you need to have four-wheel drive to pull out of it.
Okay.
And my car didn't. I thought that I could drive out, because I put it in reverse, A, so that it's easier to pull the body out, and B, because the back tires would provide propulsion to push up.
Right.
And I open the trunk, I take his body out, I put it in the water, and because I don't want fingerprints on a body, so I just try moving it with my shoes. That works successfully. He goes out some part in the river and floats off.
Okay.
God knows where he is now. Maybe he's dead.
Go ahead.
Okay, yeah. God knows where he is now. I think my guess was that it would be discovered this morning or next morning, so keep an eye out for any river-related activity.
Okay. So you cut him open, did you cut his arms off, his hands off, all that, before you went home?
Yeah, before I went home, I tossed the arm bits around. Like, I took the right arm bit, threw it out,
okay.
Took the left arm bit, threw it out.
So went somewhere around that bridge?
Yeah, but look in a... Because I know crime scenes can be a very wide area.
Mm-hmm.
You're going to want to look in a 10-foot... area.
But it's difficult to know where exactly Brian Cohey Jr. ends and where the character begins. You see, I'm not even fully convinced that those Reddit posts made long ago where he's talking about the things that he's seen are even true. With someone like Brian Cohey Jr. that was constructing this character, it's difficult to know how much of it was almost like a pro wrestling character or a movie character that he was emulating, because he's thinking about his chances or odds of getting a Netflix documentary about him or a true crime podcast.
What immediately caught the police's attention is the blood from the body was on the reverse bumper. I forgot to wipe it off. And I was so panicked that I wasn't thinking. And so when they pull it out, they immediately see blood on the bumper. And they're all thinking, we really like to get in the trunk. Fools. There is nothing in the trunk.
Ah. Okay.
And
that happened this morning?
No, they noticed it last. They noticed it after I'd been sent home at 3 a.m.
Okay.
They noticed the blood. But yeah, this morning, they noticed some more blood on the door handle. The other door handle, passenger one.
Okay.
Yeah, and also the multi-layered gloves in the car. I took them out, and obviously my car went in there before I was able to throw them away.
Sure. So did the cop talk to you guys about that at this point? Mm-hmm. Did the cop from the police department, did they talk to you about that this morning?
No, I was not contacted.
Oh.
All they were planning to do with me today is get my insurance information.
Sure.
And they were still curious about the blood.
Did they ask you about that?
No, because they did not notice it while I was still there.
So when you say they were curious about the blood, how do you know that they were curious about
my parents told me.
Oh.
They saw the blood too, and they were curious. But I said, I don't know where the blood came from.
Oh.
I had no idea. They thought maybe it was a cut, but obviously a cut doesn't produce that much blood. And they said maybe it was the recovering abscess under my arm, but that was scabbed up.
Okay.
So they were just, they didn't know what to believe. This
day because it's blood, it's sticky, it's sinewy, but I can't name a source. So they were just a tiny bit curious.
I've been reading a lot of history recently. One of the books I read recently was on John Adams. One of the things John Adams struggled with was his ability to speak a little too much. He never knew when to shut up, and he always exposed his hand. He admired George Washington and other people like Benjamin Franklin for their stoicism and ability to keep quiet. Brian Cohey Jr. takes every internet post, every conversation with a friend, every time he speaks to the police or family, to sort of talk about how evil and spooky he is, how much he's like Ted Bundy or Ed Gein or what have you. And he does it so often, it exposes his hand.
So you touched his arm and you touched his head. I guess you touched the head?
Yeah, it was in my room. The closet.
The body, the blue hair, and what about, you said he took his clothes off of them?
They're still there. Along with his, in the crime
scene. Did you throw them or there's...
No, they're still there. It's just a pile of his sleeping things.
Okay. Oh, they're on the back side of
there where all the blood is.
Hey, I'm
saying on the back side of the cylinder.
I just want to make sure I have that. So the arm and his clothes are near Crosby.
Yeah, like this. Okay. Like, here's Crosby Avenue, and here's the bridge. Here's the crime scene. Here's the railroad. The arms are around this area.
Okay.
Do you think he threw them past the railroad?
No.
Between these two?
No, they're between those.
Okay.
And then you said you took, was it the head and the hands?
Mm-hmm.
And what did you put that in?
Well, three rules for bodies. I like to call it the three rules.
Okay, tell me about that.
3 days the body starts to stink. No, 3 hours rigor mortis sets in. Body stiffens. 3 days the body starts to stink because of decomposition. Mm-hmm. 3 weeks the body is starting to seriously decompose.
Right, great.
3 months. The body is unrecognizable. 3 years, it turns into a skeleton.
And, ma'am, how do you know that?
I've always had a fascination with forensics and with anatomy and physiology. That's something I made up. That's something I don't want to sound like I'm inventing something. That's why I coined the three rules.
You kind of remember it that way.
Yeah.
That's your way of remembering.
Is it accurate?
Well, somewhat. Yeah, so what did you have the head and the hand at your house?
The head, I took, because it was starting to stink, I was planning on throwing the head and hands away.
Okay.
Not in the trash bag, and not in the kitchen trash, but they were both in trash bags. The head was in a trash bag, I hid up the trash bag. Hands, I put in a trash bag as well. They were in Ziploc bags. And I was planning, do they sell empty paint buckets? I was planning to buy an empty paint bucket, put the head in it, seal it, and then I was going to throw it off in some ditch, like 340 Broadway, that area, where it would be hard to reach.
Okay.
The hands I would throw in a different spot, wherever.
I'm sorry, I just want to make sure I have it right. The head is inside of a trash bag.
It was.
Well, where is it now?
In the kitchen sink. My parents searched through my room and they found the head and hands.
Okay, and so are the head and the hands in the kitchen sink now?
I'm not sure.
Okay, so they're in the kitchen sink now because your parents put them there.
But they were in my closet. They
were in your closet. And what kind of trash bag? What exact kind of trash bag?
White.
White, like a kitchen one or what? Like
a kitchen
okay.
One.
White kitchen?
One that you put in a trash can.
Yeah. And then what about the hands? They were inside Ziplocs, you said.
Both in the same, both in a different trash bag.
Okay, the white kitchen trash bag.
Yes.
But now, they're in the kitchen sink.
Yes.
Okay.
Still in trash bags.
Okay.
In the kitchen sink.
Okay. So that's the arms and the clothes, the head and the hands, and then the whole rest of the body you put in the river.
God knows where it is now.
Right, but it was put in there.
Yes.
In similar ways to where he wanted people to think of him as intelligent, he also wants to be seen as this greater evil. And frankly, it's a little pathetic. I mean, when you think about it, he killed one person, And that's not to devalue a loss of a person. Warren Barnes did not deserve the fate he got. But to my greater point, Brian Cohey Jr. was self-mythologizing. He wanted to be this brutal killer. But in the end, he had a low body count, he wasn't very smart, and he couldn't emulate the people that he so desperately admired.
No, I actually think you're really articulate. And you talked about you were just kind of in a bad state that night.
It was, yes.
Okay. Why were you in a bad state?
I didn't take my medicine. And plus, for years, I was wondering what murder would be like, because you read shit like Ted Bundy and the Zodiac. They all say murder is the best feeling in the world. So I'm like, I'm going to try that.
Okay.
So for some time, I had been wondering when it would happen. I always knew I would be in this building, whether it was as a criminal or a police officer.
Okay.
Because I was planning to go in the military, go into forensics.
Okay. All right.
And,
how long do you really, you know, honestly think you've been thinking about, really, at some point you wanted to know what murder felt like?
A year.
Okay. All right. And you said you read books?
I read books. I have a book on forensics.
Okay. Did you read the book, the Ted Bundy book?
No, I have not read the Ted Bundy book.
Okay.
I
probably have seen excerpts. Have you seen, like, you know, little comments from it or things like that?
I'm not sure what book you're talking about.
The one you mentioned? The whole the stuff about Ted Bundy? A lot has been written.
No, it was on the internet.
Yeah, okay. All right. All right. And Pete has studied him, too.
Yeah.
You know, so
crazy. Ed Gein? No, in California.
Yeah.
Ed Kemper.
Yeah. Studied him?
I know of him. He was. He was a Goliath. He was 6'9", 300 pounds.
So can I ask you a question? Almost all those people did this for some sort of whether they had sex with the body,
what?
With some sexual gratification in their mind.
In criminology, there's different types of. I'm not a serial killer by no means. But some serial killers, there's different types of them. There's organized, disorganized.
If starting the year with a fast feels a little daunting, you're not alone. There's an entire community of individuals wanting to make a meaningful difference in their health, just like you. This is what makes group fasting so powerful, and why I'm joining in on ProLon's January Fasting Challenge, a coach-led program to set you up for fasting success. ProLon's Fasting Mimicking Diet is a revolutionary plant-based nutrition program that nourishes the body while making cells believe they're fasting. Researched and developed for decades at USC's Longevity Institute and backed by leading U.S. medical centers, ProLon helps promote healthy blood sugar, enhanced skin, fat loss, and improved energy and focus. It all starts with their 5-day program, snacks, soups, and beverages designed to keep your body in a fasting state, no guesswork or planning required, which is a relief after a busy holiday. Stay motivated during the challenge with guidance from top longevity and nutrition coaches, providing the tools you need to successfully complete your fast. Listener, with the new year here, like many, I'm ready for a hard reset after the holiday indulgences. So I'm going to start strong with the ProLon 5-day program. It's fasting, but with food, so I can nourish my body while experiencing benefits like fat loss, enhanced skin appearance, and improved energy. And with the January Fasting Challenge, I have expert support, guidance, and a community to keep me on track. Ready to make 2025 your healthiest year yet? Order your ProLon 5-day kit at ProLonLife.com/Obscura and join in on their fasting challenge today. New groups start every Sunday in January. Plus, ProLon is offering Obscura True Crime Podcast listeners 15% off their 5-day nutrition program for your post-holiday glow-up when you go to ProLonLife.com/Obscura. ProLonLife.com/Obscura. Listener, when we're trying to make progress, life's curveballs often feel like taking one step forward and two steps back. A Chime checking account makes financial progress easier with features like no maintenance fees, fee-free overdraft up to $200, or getting paid up to 2 days early with direct deposit. You know, listener, we've all been through hard times. I know I have. In fact, there was a time in my life where my account was sitting at zero, and I was waiting on my next paycheck. Next thing you know, a charge went through, landing me absurd overdraft fees and digging my hole even deeper. Chime helps make progress with fee-free overdraft up to $200. Your next deposit is applied to your balance. Get spotted on debit card purchases and cash withdrawals. No monthly fees or maintenance fees, and over 50,000 fee-free ATMs. Make progress towards a better financial future with Chime. Open up your account in 2 minutes at chime.com/obscura. That's chime.com/obscura. Chime feels like progress. Banking services and debit card provided by the Bancorp Bank, N.A., or Stride Bank, N.A. Members FDIC, spot me eligibility requirements, and overdraft limits apply. Boosts are available to eligible Chime members enrolled in spot me and are subject to monthly limits. Timing depends on submission of payment file. Fees apply at out-of-network ATMs.
Missionary.
I'm just wondering what gets you excited about doing it?
Well, I'm not really sexually attracted to it.
Okay. I was just asking.
It was just curiosity, more or less.
The only thing that makes him stand out is the fact that he was operating on this meta level. The fact that he was creating kits and exploring darkness and doing so almost with a framework of someone like Quentin Tarantino emulating other crime movies, but he was striving to be like other killers. And that's why I think it's important that we don't mythologize these killers, that we take a moment to point and laugh from time to time. So when I say, look at Brian Cohey Jr., the failed serial killer, it's not to devalue the life that he took, but to devalue the perceived legacy Brian Cohey Jr. believes that he has, when in reality, he's just a minor blip of infamy.
But what were you worried about, like, leaving evidence behind?
Oh, God, totally.
Tell me about that and what you did.
Well, I was figuring the police don't, this is not to be taken offense, but police, they don't seem to care as much about high-risk individuals, homeless people, prostitutes, etc. So I was deliberately looking for someone who lived that type of life. And I found a homeless person, and the original goal was just even there. But I was worried about the fibers on the outfit I was wearing that would be on his clothes and stuff. So I deliberately messed up the clothes.
Okay.
Not cutting them up, just throwing them around. And I was worried about just how long it would take to find him, because it's a somewhat traveled road. Eventually someone with the windows down is gonna smell something off.
Right.
Police have a nose for that type of thing. They're trained to be able to identify the smell of a corpse. So that's where the river idea came from, because a river will wash away a lot of evidence. Rivers are quite tricky. And obviously that was botched.
So how long have you been planning or looking for someone to do this with before you found this guy?
About a year? No, 6 months.
So you come close or seen somebody or chickened out or anything in the past?
I was looking for a deliberately secluded place like that one. I wouldn't just go up in Clifton and find someone walking down the street and stab them. No, that's too public. Everyone sees that.
Well, have you looked like at the homeless places or anything in the past?
I have, yes. I'll go on night drives often, maybe once every 2 weeks. Now just peruse the streets.
Okay. So before this guy, how close have you come in the past?
Not at all.
At all? You just drive around?
Yeah, well, just try and find.
Do you see anybody interesting?
No.
In your mind, thought of a plan?
Well, occasionally when you see girls walking down the street, I take a glance at them. Because it really is like Ed Kemper, where half of me says, well, I'm quite inept with women. I'm being honest, I'm no Casanova. But half of me says, I want to take that girl home and make her feel nice. And the other half of me, just like what Ed said, is I want to see what her head looks like on a stick.
So occasionally when I'm driving down the road, if I see someone and I catch a fly, I'll just like...
And it sounds like you thought a lot about the fibers and getting rid of the body. I don't know how sad. Were you worried about getting caught while you were doing it or before you did it?
I was worried about afterwards because for this past day and a half, including this day, mm-hmm. I felt so anxious. Because not only is my car in the river, there's blood on it, there's body parts in my house. My parents like to look through my things occasionally. And when they see blood, and eventually when they're going to get the news that a body was found in the river, that's very much circumstantial evidence that's pointing to me. So I was very much anxious these past days that I was eventually going to get caught.
Okay. What do you think would happen if you got caught?
Well, I figured my mother would have confronted me about it, but no, she didn't even say it until the police arrived. I thought the police would handcuff me, but apparently I've been operational, so...
Do you know who the person was that you killed?
No. I took his wallet. I didn't look at it. I just picked it up, briefly scanned over it, and put it in my car. Apparently, it was worn. My mom told me this before she found out that the missing person was Warren Brown, born in 63.
Now, these police interview clips are revealing. If you pay attention, if you really notice how in and out of the sort of character he plays, Brian Cohey Jr. is, it's almost like an act. Like I mentioned before, it's like he's playing Ed Kemper. There's even that point where he talks about when he was killing Warren Barnes, and he said that he was saying to himself, "Stinky," because it's like he needed something there to spice things up for his story. And there's something bizarre to me about the fact that to Brian Cohey Jr., at least to me, it seems apparent that his story, his mythology, is far more important than the crime he committed. He doesn't seem all that bothered by being arrested or that he killed a man. He seems to intentionally be not recognizing the weight of the act that he committed. And this seems to play a part in the perception he wants.
And what were you wearing?
I was wearing a dark blue jumper suit. Those things that the One Piece zips up.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know the movie Halloween, Michael Myers?
Mm-hmm.
He wears one of those, and for Halloween last year, I bought that as a costume, the fun mask in the room.
Okay.
And, I just associated that piece of that article of clothing with violence. So that's why I was wearing it.
That night?
Yes.
Okay. And then what else were you wearing that night?
Brown thick shoes. You'll see them in my house. Okay. They're in the living room.
So, you know a brand?
No, I don't know the brand. All I know is that they're brown wet because they have blood on them.
Okay.
Murder. So I put them in the bathtub, soaked them. Like, what?
Think you got a little blood out?
No. Blood is hard to remember.
Okay.
And where are they? I'm sorry, I missed where they are.
They're in the living room.
Okay. Where in the living room?
Behind the couch. It's a space behind the couch. It's like 5 feet by 5 feet. You'll...
Okay.
And, use luminol, you'll probably get them.
Okay.
How about... It isn't too much disturbed.
Well, what else were you wearing?
That's it. Well, I was wearing a shirt underneath. One of those in the laundry pile. I don't know which one.
You don't remember which one?
Yeah.
How about pants?
The jumper was the pants.
Okay, you didn't have pants.
The shirt underneath and the jumper.
Okay. No pants on?
And underwear, but.
Okay.
How about socks? Socks. I was wearing a pair of dirty socks.
Did you wash those?
No, I didn't wash them.
Right. Yeah.
There's socks. Somewhere.
Okay. How about your gloves?
Thrown away.
Where at?
My mom's house.
What?
Well, in the... or in a square trash bin.
Okay.
You will see the bloody trash and the gloves.
Okay.
The inside or outside?
Outside.
Okay.
Near the front door.
Okay. How about were you wearing a hat?
No, no hat.
Mask?
Face mask.
Okay.
Black.
The one you have today or a different one?
Huh?
You have it today or a different one? Or?
It was in my car.
Okay.
That got flooded.
Okay.
Is it still in the car?
Yeah.
Or to the best of your knowledge?
Yeah.
Okay. So the black mask and the wallet are in the car?
Yes.
The knife?
Well, I think it's the wallet.
Okay. The knife you don't know, but your dad took it.
I think the wallet my parents took as well.
Okay. And then the jumpsuit, the shoes.
Jumpsuit's in the dryer.
Okay. So the jumpsuit's in the dryer.
And that's what you washed a couple times?
Yes.
All at your mom's house?
Yes.
Okay.
What else did you use to wash it?
I put it in the washing machine, poured a lot of soap in it, put it on dirt removal, stain removal, extra wash. And I did that twice.
And I missed one thing. I know you said that did you say the jumpsuit? You said it kind of reminded you of violence because it came from the Halloween movie?
Yeah, it was
I haven't watched the movie, so I don't know which one you're talking about.
The original.
Oh, okay. All right.
It was, Karen the Brand. It's a jumpsuit. Okay. What was the question?
I just wanted to know the book, to clarify the movie, because I haven't seen that. That's not my kind of movie, so I didn't.
You haven't seen Halloween?
You know, I've seen parts of it a long time ago, probably a long time ago, but it's been a long time since I've seen that. So, sorry.
When the reality is, he was a weak person who was afraid all the time and had anxieties himself, but abused those around him, abused his parents' trust and their love.
I have to ask, and I think you answered it, but I'm not 100% sure. You said you thought about doing this for the last 6 months, a year.
Yeah.
Have you ever done it before?
No.
Okay. You gotta ask, right?
Yeah.
How about animals? Have you practiced on anything?
Yes.
It's pretty big stuff.
Tell us about that.
Personal. It was 2018 Halloween. A stray black cat had been coming around our house. This was before I moved into my mom's. This was at my dad's. And I was thinking about killing him. I then hid the body in a shoebox, and then I disposed it in the trash and got away with it.
Okay.
That cat.
Did you keep him for a while like you did this guy, or?
I kept it for 3 days. Then it started to stink.
So you got the 3 days and it stinks?
Cool. Also because body's bacteria starts to close the body after a day to 3 days, so.
And when did you start thinking about killing people?
6 months ago.
So, how old are you?
I turned 19 last month.
So when thinking
January,
back,
2 months ago.
Okay. Thinking back, it sounds like you killed a cat.
Well, actually, I was thinking of killing people during the cat, but I wasn't acting on it. But I started seriously thinking about killing people a year ago.
How about when you were 12? Did you think about killing people?
No.
So what in your life has changed or what in your mind has changed?
I don't know.
Was it like something all of a sudden one day you woke up and thought, I'll kill someone, or was it a gradual?
Gradual, I think.
So tell me about when those thoughts first started happening.
Well, in high school, last year, my parents found a kit I had been assembling. It had hammers, shovels, knives, large zip tie, and duct tape, saw. That was meant for hurting people. They found it, though, and I had convinced them it was via other methods. And there was an ultimatum where if I didn't throw it away, all that, they would call the police, and then I would have been arrested on charges of conspiracy. So yeah, that was last year.
So what made you put that kit together?
That was for nights like that.
Okay.
The last one I got was very sharp. It impressed me, so I bought the same one.
Okay. Where'd you buy it?
Safeway, my work.
Oh, when? Like, recently or a long time?
You
said it's really sharp. I'm just curious what
that is. Precision 8-inch
A good cook, precision, DH, 12, I think DH.
Like they just sell it on the shelf?
Like a, goes in a package with the other kitchenware.
He had every opportunity in the world, and he could have been as smart as he thought he was if he had the drive and ambition to actually stick with it. My belief is that Brian Cohey Jr. did have darkness swelling within him, of course. Of course there was something growing there. Here on Obscura, we go where the evil is, where the ghosts are. And Brian Cohey Jr., I begrudgingly admit, is indeed psychotic. But the extent at which he is where I'm not willing to give him the credit. And I don't mean credit like I would to someone normal, like you, listener, but the way that Brian Cohey Jr. wants to see himself as this evil anti-hero.
I'm really curious, when you talked about the hammer and the shovels and the knives and like the this time, I mean, what was kind of your plan then? That's a little bit different than you did this time.
Oh, yeah.
So what was the plan back then?
The plan was to go find, because there's no prostitutes in Grand Junction, I don't think. Have you ever had any sex crimes?
Yeah.
There's not prostitutes, like five of them standing alongside the room, but there's prostitutes in Grand Junction.
Yeah, the plan was to go with one of them and have them come with me. And then the plan was to subdue them and tie them up and then torture her. That would have been sexual in nature. This was just to see what it felt like. But that would have been sexual.
So you thought about the sexual killing, but this one was just see what killing felt.
Yeah.
That makes sense.
So what made you not go back to the same plan and get, you know, if you kind of had that as a plan.
Would I have been caught?
Well, I don't know. My point is if your folks, your mom found your stuff, right?
Yes.
And got rid of it. Why didn't you go back to that plan? Why change plans?
Too much risky. First time in a row, they'll be like, okay, that's really suspicious, but okay, we forgive you, don't do it again.
Okay.
Second time in a row, we're calling the police on you.
Oh.
I didn't want to do that again.
Okay, fair enough.
Risk.
And so they didn't call the police?
No, because I told them, they gave me an ultimatum, have them throw it all away or call the police. So I threw it all away because...
Okay, so you thought if you started rebuilding that plan, they'd find out?
Yes.
Oh, okay.
So that's where this plan came from.
Okay, all right.
Not really planning, it was more. Not really planning, just if...
Opportunity then, presented itself.
Yes, opportunity.
Yeah.
Okay. The opportunity to be then...
Okay. If you had not been caught by your folks, what do you think you would have done next?
With the kid.
I don't know. No, let's talk about, like, today. If you would have been able to get rid of the head and your folks did not find it.
Well, it depends.
Okay.
Would you guys have been able to solve it if the body was down the river, the head and hands were missing, and... there were no fingerprints or DNA.
Well, we'd like to think so, but who knows?
Right, who knows? We'd love to think so, but
so let's
knows?
Say we didn't solve it. What happened next?
Then what would you have thought of to do next?
Well, I had thought I would have been very careful because I would have been worried at any moment this could become a cold case and then it could be solved later on down the line. I was just to see what it felt like. And if I had gotten away with it, I would have just kept the secret to the grave.
So... to see what it felt like. What did it feel like?
It was intense. It was a rush of adrenaline.
Okay.
My whole body was shaking. Not like out of fear. It was like...
So you ever had that feeling before?
Yes.
When?
It was years ago. Well, no, actually, it wasn't. It was on... Occasionally, my thoughts get the better of me. And, sometimes I don't know how to describe it. It isn't a panic attack. It's anything like that. I'll give you an example. I was watching the video when all of a sudden I start going into that type of thoughts. I get the feeling, I know that it isn't, but I get the feeling that there are eyes on the walls watching me, eyes on the furniture. And I cover myself up. I'm like, oh God, eyes. And I'm worried if I stick anything out from the bed, blades will come up and chop it off. And I don't know. I know that's not going to happen, but I'm worried about that.
Okay.
So then I was, my whole body was shaking up and down.
So it's like a fear adrenaline? Is that what you have in the eyes?
Not really fear. It was a thought that bothered me.
And then killing the guy was insane.
It wasn't, it wasn't fear. It was just pure excitement, I suppose.
Brian Cohey Jr., he made a lot of mistakes and was caught almost right away. He left blood on the trunk after his little genius plan. He had so many years to think and work out the possibilities. One of the things that he dances around is that he couldn't commit a sexual crime. And when it gets down to brass tacks, because he didn't have his own place, he couldn't afford his own place. And so he had to do everything out from under his parents' curfew. So whether he was at his mom's house or his father's house, then he had to do so within those restrictions. And the thing that finally did him in was almost like a last punishment from his parents. He spent so much time talking down to them. And in the end, they were the ones that exposed him. Brian Cohey Jr. is no terrifying anti-hero. He targeted someone that was down on their luck. And he hoped that no one cared about them. But in reality, he had people that cared about him. And that community rose up, and they aided in capturing Brian Cohey Jr. before he could do anything else. And now, Brian Cohey Jr. will spend the rest of his life behind bars. And no one will think of him as one of these great dark figures he had in his mind. They'll think about him as the awkward loser he is and was. The one thing I hope is that the eyes and the lights that supposedly haunted him were real, and that he spends a long time in his cell running from the deadlights.
I've been down on Main Street for a long time. I've not put my nose up at the homeless, but not really reached out or tried to help or even talk to them or anything. Warren was the first that I ever, was like, hey, who are you? Where are you from? He taught me to not be afraid to talk to people. We don't know their story. We don't know what they've been through. They may not be sitting there with their hand out wanting money. Warren wouldn't even take food. He wouldn't take a thing. I would have to sneak cookies into his bag on holidays. He just wasn't that kind of person. So he taught me definitely to be kind. He really did. He did.
At Kroger, an annual Boost membership just got even better. Now you can choose from Disney Plus with ads, Hulu with ads, or ESPN Plus on us when you sign up. Plus, enjoy unlimited free delivery, double fuel points, exclusive offers, and free items. Sign up for a Boost membership today. It's an easier way to save, including new streaming options to relax with while we deliver your groceries. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Restrictions apply. See site for details.